Good afternoon. I'm Kate Manahan. Thank you for joining me for our 201st edition of New Mainers Speak. This is a weekly half-hour program where you can hear firsthand about the lives of some of Maine's immigrants. During this show, we visit with individuals regarding their life stories and enduring hopes as New Mainers. My guest today is Mariella Uimana. She's originally from Rwanda, where she spoke Kinyarwanda, Swahili, Kirwanda, and French. She attended university in Uganda in English and got her master's degree in Denmark in Danish. Of course, that means she speaks six languages and brings to Maine her global understanding of people and cultures across three continents. She's a mother of three sons, has lived in South Portland, Maine since last August 2018, and I'd like to welcome you, Mariella. Thank you for being my guest today.
Thank you, Kat, for inviting me to be the number one of the 200.
Yes, that's right. You're the first in the 200.
Yes, I'm the first in the next 200 or next 1,000.
Yes, keeping it fresh on this snowy morning.
Yeah, well.
When we met earlier this week, you were telling me about your finely curated concept of home and what home means to you. I wondered if you could share a little bit about your original home in southern Rwanda, maybe memories of the landscape, food, culture, whatever comes to mind for you.
Thank you, Kat. I was born and raised in Rwanda, in the southern part of Rwanda called Butare, on the hilly part of Rwanda, southern part of Rwanda. It's near the University of Rwanda, which was the very first one in Rwanda, in the Butare. The memories are huge and beautiful because I was the last born of the nine siblings, mm-hmm. which means I used to be kind of a spoiled child. In the number of nine, you can imagine how it was. And
yes, and don't you have older siblings then that are in charge of, one takes care of your shoes, one takes care of your clothes?
Well, it was more than that because they were much older than me. They used to be like almost my parents,
uh-huh.
which I have big memories and huge remembrances of them. I used to be, my father was an animal doctor. I grew up with a lot of animals and lots of big family with a lot of aunties coming to our home, cousins. So I grew up in a big home with lots of love, lots of food. Various food, because my mom used to have a piece of land. It was a village, a kind of a village, where we ate the food that we grew in our home.
Yes. What would be a Sunday night dinner that you'd enjoy together?
A Sunday night used to be, I remember, like dry meat, because my father was animal doctor. We had lots of dry meat where.
Like jerky?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So we used to have that, and we used to eat on a big table, all of us. So it's a fresh picture that I always have in my mind and my memory.
With nine siblings and two parents and aunts and uncles, there must have been 20 people around your table.
Yes, it used to be huge, and our home was on a junction of three roads where we had like our neighbors passing through our home all the time. It used to be like kind of easy. Life was more beautiful then because people used to be more relaxed and feeling like every neighbor, we used to feel it was our home, our own homes. So we used to go without knocking, without calling, no phones back then, I think.
You belonged everywhere.
Yeah, we belonged everywhere. So we used to have home full of people all the time.
How lovely.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I think there are very few places in the world that are more beautiful than Rwanda, with green rolling hills, perfect temperature all the time.
I mean, I think it depends on each person. My own experience of my childhood background, it's more like everything. I usually call it beautiful, my beautiful world, because I think my childhood memories, it was so beautiful, because having parents, protecting parents, it's everything in this world. So I have lots of memories that make me call it beautiful always.
I love
when
that.
I compare to back then and now.
It must feel like a snow globe, you know, just a whole little world, your uh-huh. beautiful world, uh-huh. in a captured memory bubble.
Yes.
Because it's so far from here.
Not only that, but I think being a child and having parents, it's everything. But the issue is comparing having and not having them anymore. It's two different worlds.
Really different worlds.
Yeah.
And you have a lot of experience with that. Mm-hmm. April's a time when genocide survivors commemorate that experience, and this is going to be the 25th anniversary of the genocide in Rwanda, this 2019. What was that experience like for you as a young woman over these past 25 years of having your world change so dramatically?
As me, a young child, or back then I was still young, I can say I was still young, the experience has been tremendous. It's huge. I call it huge because no one was prepared for what happened. It just came all of a sudden. We were not prepared. Neither our parents used to talk to us about it. I think they wanted to be more protective to us. They didn't want to scare us. So it happened all of a sudden. So we ran away. And for my experience, I never saw them again. And I lost my home that time. I never saw them, and that was it. So my world changed completely from that time. So it's a huge experience. I had to find a living by myself without any mentor.
Because, at 14?
Yeah, at 14 years. As a young woman, it's kind of more difficult because you have to be protective to yourself, to find the way of living without any guidance.
You must have had to dig very deep because you're in a state of shock, I'm sure, and then mourning, mm-hmm. and so is everyone else. It's not like you can just go lean on someone.
No.
Right?
Yeah, it was quite difficult because my own experience is everybody, especially in Rwanda, had the way of surviving. We have had different mode of survival. So my own was like covering up. It took me so long time to be able to speak out what happened to me. I just covered up the pain. I never spoke out. I never even, when people started talking about the genocide and what happened, I just moved away of the room immediately.
Too vulnerable.
Yes. So it's recently that I started seeing that. Why can't I just talk about it? What's wrong with me? I started thinking, so maybe why? So, and it came up that my boys started growing up. So they came up with questions all the time. So I was like, oh, how? I have to be there, and I have to stand firm to be able to talk to them about what happened. So I started first taking conversation to myself before being able to talk to them and being able to explain to them what happened.
I'm always impressed by what we'll do for love.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for your boys that you care so much for. You need to be able to tell the story in a way that children can hear it and understand.
Exactly, and without hurting them, without scaring them, it's very important because myself, I have been so scared because after what happened, I got confused about people.
How do you know who to trust?
Exactly.
Yes.
So it has been a big issue to me. So I was like, how do I explain to my children how people can kill each other without scaring them? So it's a huge exercise first know how to talk to them about that, because we deal with people. We are human beings. We are people. So how do you tell your own children that they have no grandparents? They have lost entire families, both sides, from their father's side, from their mother's side, and they were killed by people. Because I started talking to the second one about it, and he was like, he came up with a serious question. Mama, how does a person kill another person? So I was like, oh, I have to be careful how I have to explain more to him. So it's quite like deep, and it's we have to be careful to children how we talk to them and how do we explain about what happened to us.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And you're so brave to double back and look at that stuff that was too hard to look at before. Mm-hmm. You said when we met before that you're not the only one who couldn't look at it right away. And in fact, it's surprising that there's a lot of suicide now in Rwanda. Mm-hmm. 25 years later, people have kept that secret unsorted, and now it just destroys them from the inside.
Mm-hmm. I mean, what happens is that when I look at it, I never thought that I could, through some dark period in my life, after making it almost, I went to school, I thought I had managed to live again. But trauma, if you don't take care of it, it never goes away. It stays there. So I thought trauma and depression was not mine, because I thought I was strong to be able to stand, to go to school, to get a family again, have children, go to school and have a career almost. I mean, I was like, that's not me. It cannot be me. I cannot be depressed. Why?
So you had the outward.
Yeah.
You had accomplished everything outwardly, but inside you still had some things that had to be sorted out.
I had huge wounds, and I had like, my healing was not worked on. I covered up for all these years. Mm-hmm. So I thought I was strong, but I wasn't. So,
well, it's kind of both. You were strong and you had hurt spots.
Yes. So I had to work the inside, the wounds, to understand it more. I had to explain first to myself and learn actually more why and what happened to me to understand it.
And you had to grow up too. You know, your adult self can go back to your child self and sort that out in a different way than a 14-year-old might be able to make sense of it.
Exactly.
You needed to grow up to understand it better.
Yeah.
So, my goodness, what a journey you have been on. You have a lot of experience with starting over. Mm-hmm. When you first arrive in a new home, what do you end up doing first?
Well, starting over, it's a huge experience in life again. I started starting over since I was 14. I can't call it easy, because it's never easy. It's a huge change. But what I've learned is you never realize that you're strong until it's the only choice you have.
Mm-hmm. You find out you're stronger than you thought you were.
Exactly.
So you went to undergraduate school in Uganda, and then graduate school in Denmark.
But actually, I lived in England before Denmark and Belgium. So it's more than that.
Oh, really? Oh, my gosh.
So starting over and changes, it's I can't say it's my thing. But what I can say is that you have to always be courageous. To be strong as a woman, especially, it needs more than that. Before, when I went to Uganda, it was more easier because I was still a young girl. But with the family, it requires more than that.
Oh, yes. You're getting everyone settled, not just yourself.
Yes.
If you're just joining this conversation, welcome. You are listening to New Mainers Speak. I'm Kate Manahan, and my guest today is Mariela Oimana. She is the program coordinator for the Business Hub program at the Immigrant Welcome Center. She sits on the board of the local hospital already, having only been here 7 months, and she comes to us from Rwanda originally. I'm kind of curious what your first impression of Maine was.
Well, my first impression of Maine was quite of a mixture of feelings, of course. Whenever you go to a new place, I'm kind of curious. I'm like, what's gonna be like? How is it? How is the weather? How are people exactly like? Because people come in my life all the time as almost the first thing, because I have had issue of understanding human beings. So people, neighbors, people I meet on the street, everyday life play a big role in my life. Always. So I think about that.
You start with the people.
Yes.
Get your connections and then figure out the rest from there.
Connection, especially the right people.
Uh-huh.
Because people can do everything for your life. They can impact in different ways.
And you must have met some people quickly here because you're already on the board at the hospital.
Well, I think being on the board of the hospital is the effect of me loving to read everything I meet on the street. I became a board member of the hospital because I got the flyer talking about that. Then I read. I was like, what's this? So they were welcoming people to be board members. So I was like, oh. This one can be something for me because I want to be a part of the society where I live, to understand the environment, the people around me. So I was like, why not?
You're jumping right in. We met this week where you work at the Greater Portland Immigrant Welcome Center at 24 Preble Street in downtown Portland. Mm-hmm. Can you tell us what your job is with them and what the Business Hub is all about?
Well, I am now a volunteer at Immigrant Welcome Center. It's specifically on a business hub. They're having a business hub, and I'm coordinating a program which is like the greenhouse program.
Greenhouse?
Yes.
Making like places where you grow things?
No. Okay, we can call it growing entrepreneurs.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
So the Immigrant Business Hub was created to help immigrants understand and navigate the thrive as an integral part of the main business community. So they have a business hub, and under the business hub, they have the greenhouse program.
I see.
Yeah.
So it's a little protected environment where you get set up with a mentor and learn how to do things, tech support. Taxes.
Yes, the greenhouse program has four pillars or four parts of programs we are helping the immigrant entrepreneurs with. We have the training part, the mentoring, and we have networking and access to capital. So those are some of the programs of the greenhouse program that I'm a part of the coordinators, and the greenhouse program is designed to provide all the four elements that I just mentioned above.
Mm-hmm.
For the new immigrants entrepreneurs.
That's really amazing. So we know that immigrants are much more likely to start their own business. Mm-hmm. Than people born here.
Mm-hmm.
Some people starting two and three businesses.
Mm-hmm.
And so here's a place where new immigrants can go and learn how to run a business.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
And get access to capital.
Yeah, we provide, in that greenhouse program, we provide one-on-one mentoring from experts to help start and grow their businesses.
That's huge.
Yeah, it is huge. And we have the advice and training on important business topics. And we advise on legal, professionals, and marketing in the financial technology field, and we make connection to other immigrant entrepreneurs. Between them, they can connect and chat and have more conversation and understanding of the community and the business, their business at large.
So wonderful. If people were listening and were interested in either volunteering as a mentor or signing up to be a member of this Business Hub program, how would they find out more information?
We have a website, Immigrant Welcome Center website. They can check on that. Otherwise, they can just pass by at 24 Prebo Street. They can have more information about how the program works and what we have to offer.
It's a beautiful space. If you just walk in off the street, you come in through a nice cozy hallway with plants everywhere and go up to the third or the fourth floor. That's where all the people are doing the work.
Exactly. It's a very beautiful place to pass by and see what's happening there.
It's really impressive to me that you've landed such a meaningful job so quickly since you've arrived just last August. I can't imagine what you might accomplish in time with your international relations degree and business leadership skills. And I know you care very much about empowering women in specific. I wondered if you could tell me a little bit more about your dreams. How will you help other women to hold on to their dreams and find stability in this new culture?
Well, I'm interested in empowering women, especially I take it as life experience. I love empowering women and youth because my own self as a woman, I can feel and I can understand the challenges for women to come out and use their potentials, what they have in them. As women, I think we have more than what we think we have. So it's a matter of bringing it out, being strong, and bring up our heads and come out and do it. So we need more courage and encouraging each other to come out and do, show our potential, and bring it out and do the amazing things.
I think with you as an example, they can't go wrong.
I wish I can just bring everyone and because I think we have a lot inside ourselves, in spite of what we have that holds us down, because we combine like our whole households, activities, or what we have to do for our homes, children, families, and then combine it with career. It's not 1 + 1. But still we manage.
And still we manage to yes. have friends.
Yes.
And that helps a lot. It's a great place to start.
Uh-huh.
You said before that fear kills dreams, which I thought was rather poetic and quite true. How have you personally hung on to your values, your power, after experiencing such profound and traumatic losses of family and culture after the genocide?
Well, sometimes we get to have fear in ourselves because of some experiences in life, hard experiences, trauma. But again, we have, as we grow up, we have to know our feelings. We have to be in charge of our current moment. If we know how we feel, it impacts the next move and what we can do next. It's very important for everybody, especially for women.
Yeah, so if we actually do the work and know ourselves, we know what beautiful gifts we have to share with the community.
Yes.
And get to fulfill that, which is kind of the thrill of being alive, right? You get to give what you want to share with the world.
Well, the fear, when I talk about fear, it's because I give an example of myself. That's why I want to mentor women, to empower women, because I give my life experience as an example. It's not every day you wake up courageous. Sometimes it depends on the feeling, how you feel. And sometimes based to our feelings, sometimes you feel like you're down. You don't want to do anything. But you have to remember that that feeling, it's caused by something. What caused that? You have to ask a question to yourself. Why am I scared today? What has happened to me? Why? So you have to move on always. Kill the fear. Just say to yourself, no, fear, you can't just take me down. I have to move and I have to keep moving.
You talk back to it.
Yes, you talk back to it, and it can't just stop you from moving on and from doing what you're supposed to do.
Clearly, it has not stopped you, Mariella. You are unstoppable, resilient, and very beautiful woman. I hope your dream to become a transformation advisor comes into fruition right here in Southern Maine, where we can all benefit from your mature wisdom and your generous spirit for years to come. Thank you so much for picking Maine to be your home.
Thank you so much for having me as a guest and as a new friend.
Yes, a new friend. Thank you. I'm Kate Manahan, closing today's program with a song Mariella has selected for us. Can you tell us the title of this song and maybe just a word about why you chose it?
This song is called Ndanyuzwe. It's by Arine Gahongayire. It means that I'm grateful. Being grateful is, to me, everything. Once you're grateful, the life is beautiful. And you're thankful to God about what God has done to you. Then it does even much more than you have ever thought about.
I think we'll hear it in the music. It's quite beautiful, too.
It
Thank you, Mariella.
Thank you, Toke.
Take and dream better, yeah, when it would take time.